Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants. Until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged. Until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. There is no greater love than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. God the Father prepared a body for Jesus that he would be the sacrifice in our place. And all those united to Jesus Christ in baptism, holding fast to him by faith and faithfully keeping covenant with him, God himself promises that Jesus died in your place, you are sprinkled with his precious blood and washed clean for eternal life. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond to God's grace by singing unto him, for he is our holy God. We come before Almighty God by faith in the heavenly places, humbly, with our hearts open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid. We submit ourselves humbly to the Word, that we might love God by keeping his commandments. So let us hear God's will for us, that we may magnify his glorious name through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's will this morning is taken from Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. These are the words of God. "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? O God, who art the strength and stay of us, thy poor flock, although the wicked world goes about to snare us, and seeing that there is no way for us to escape, but only by thy grace, grant that we may continue in thy fear and truth, and that we be not involved in that vengeance and punishment which thou wilt pour forth upon the wicked, when thou shalt send that great judge, Christ Jesus thy Son, to judge the whole world. Father, we pray that you will send your Spirit upon us now. Open up our ears that we can hear your truth. Open up our minds that we can understand. Give us wisdom, O Lord, to live as your people. Open our hearts to your love and to your mercy and to your grace, that we may love you by keeping your commands and love our neighbors as ourselves, and move our souls with joy and by faith, that we may go forth from your house, flowing into the world, the four corners of the earth, serving you and glorifying your name. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us prepare our souls a joyful song. Please let us stand together and sing to God. Our sermon text this morning, we continue our sermon series in the Gospel according to St. Luke. This morning we are in chapter 13. And as has been the case, you will find devotions in your mailbox for the remainder of chapter 13 and chapter 14. Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith, and do not harden your hearts. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters, this past Wednesday, the church, along with all the saints since Christ, commemorated the beginning of the season of Lent by celebrating Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday focuses on a central theme of Scripture. Mankind is made from dust. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We come from the dust of the earth, and God breathes His life into us. And if we are left in our sin, we will ultimately turn into ash in judgment. Ash Wednesday reminds us of the certainty of death for everyone and the need for a Savior in Jesus Christ. Now, Lent, as mentioned, is a season of contrition. It's a focus on the sufferings of Christ. The color purple with which we celebrate Lent or consider of Lent draws us to humility, somberness, and penitence. It is a season of preparation for Easter by focusing on the need for repentance. And this morning's text uses 3 points to make one main point about repentance. If you like 3-point sermons, here's a 3-point sermon for you this morning. Because the Holy Spirit uses 3 points to make 1 point. That point is, God calls us all to repentance. And His gift is repentance from death unto life. Repentance is always from death unto life. In Luke 13, Jesus does that through 3 examples. First, the example of the slaughter of the Galileans. Secondly, the fall of the Tower of Siloam in Jerusalem. And the third, the teaching of the parable of the fig tree. Now, repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is a turning. A turn from one direction, one path, to the opposite direction. As sinners, covenant breakers, mankind, we are headed towards certain death. We will be ash, because we choose sin and death. That's where we're going. From cradle to grave, we choose death. But thanks be to God that by His grace, He grants us repentance. Repentance is a gift to turn from death to life. To turn from death to life. Turning from one direction to the opposite. And just to kind of illustrate this morning, this plant. And this plant. Okay, you can see those. This guy, we give him water. Carol gives him water every time she cleans the church. And look at him. So this plant is dying, right? It's not a good-looking plant. This is where we are headed. Every single human being on the face of the earth is headed toward this. We are slowly decaying in our sin. And God gives us the gift of repentance so we can turn from this direction to this one. How long have we had this plant? 2 years? Looks pretty good, right? This one gets water too. So this is where we're going. This is the choice that we all choose in and of ourselves, apart from God, apart from His mercy and His grace. We look like this, and ultimately, as I mentioned, we will turn into ash. But God gives us the gift of repentance. It's a gift. that He can change our minds. He can change our hearts where we recognize, I don't want this. I recognize this is where I'm headed. I need a Savior, and that's Jesus. So I turn. That's what repentance is. Turning, and there's life. We recognize the futility. We recognize the insanity, the certain death of the world of sin. You see it on TV, you see it in the newspapers, and you go, it's so clear to me how awful death is and how wayward our world is by choosing it. You recognize it and you see the gift of life, the blessedness of life. Isn't this so much better? You recognize that you're eating the pods with the pigs, right? Prodigal son, you recognize there's something better. And it's the grace, the life, the love of God that He gives us. He showers it upon us, lavishly gives it to us. Recognize death, turn from it. That is repentance. One direction to the opposite. Now, repentance is a dirty word, isn't it? It's a dirty word in our culture today, and sadly, it's even a dirty word in church. Do preachers still call people to repentance? Our world walks on the brink of constantly being offended, right? Everything's about being offended. You watch the news, someone's always apologizing because somebody has been offended. You're a big meanie if you tell someone they're wrong. That's not how we talk to people. You don't tell someone they're wrong. You don't tell someone they're going in the wrong direction. That's mean. Don't call them to repentance. Don't tell someone he needs to change his ways. So it is with repentance. All of us need repentance. We all need to repent from sin. We need to repent of lives of sin. You turn to Jesus. And we need to live a life as Christians of constant repentance. Turn from the sins you committed yesterday and do them no longer. Repent and stop sinning. Let's pause and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Who can raise your hand and tell me, what is the special holiday today? Is that your first answer? Isn't it another special day today? What is it? It's your dad's birthday, yep. But you're right, it is Valentine's Day for the rest of us. Well, I think we should all celebrate Jeff's birthday, right? Mr. DeCroni's birthday. So whenever you see someone today, say, happy Mr. DeCroni's birthday. Okay? Everybody say that to everybody. You know, we say Merry Christmas to everybody on Jesus' birthday, right? So today we should say happy Mr. DeCroni's birthday to everybody. Okay? But you're right the first time. Let's focus on Valentine's Day, and now I'll focus on Mr. DeCroni. All right. Now, what is the theme of Valentine's Day? Who can raise their hand and tell me? The theme. One word starts with an L. Love. Love. And who can raise their hand and tell me, what is love? God is love. Very good. It's what? It grows?
It's gross.
It's gross? Any other answers? I'm not calling on boys anymore this morning. Okay, God is love. And how do you know that, Paige?
Because my mom made a sign.
Mom made a sign that says God is love. And where do you think she got that? Any ideas? Walmart? Caleb? Where did she get that idea, God is love? The Bible. God is love. So let's get our ideas first from the Bible on what is love. Who can give me something else that the Bible says about love?
Jesus is love.
Okay. God is love, shows His love in Jesus. Who can raise their hand and tell me what's the greatest commandment? Greatest commandment. on your father and mother. That's a good guess. It's not the first, it's the fifth. Hessel? That's the second greatest commandment. What's the first? Evan? Very good. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second greatest commandment, Hessel? Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to read from John 13. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So what's Jesus telling us there? Love one another, and when you do this, what?
You have to obey Jesus.
And he tells us here, people will know you're Christians by your love. By your love. People will know you're Christians. Now, who can give me some ways that we can love one another? Give me one idea, Lennox.
Kiss your mom and dad.
That's a good way. Kiss your mom and dad. You have something else?
And I mostly think that's because of when my mom and dad.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. Caleb?
Give your brother your cookie.
That's a way to love. Okay? How about in the church? What can we do in the church to show our love to one another? Because that's who Jesus is talking to. This. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples. Aubrey? Tell people to love other people. Encourage them to do that. Lennox?
Pray to God.
Pray to God. Maybe pray for each other. Okay. Now, we have some people in church who can't come to church with us every Sunday. They're in the nursing home or they can't leave their homes or their apartments. How can we show them love? Evan?
Send them a card.
Send them a card. Caleb? Visit them. Lennox?
Send them a cookie.
Send them a cookie. Lee?
Be pen pals
with them? Wow, they would really love that if you were pen pals with them. Okay. This morning, we're going to have pancakes after Sunday school. And this is the way for men to show the church, especially the ladies, love. By serving one another, helping one another. Okay? So Jesus said, you will show your love by how you treat one another. So I want you to think about that. Loving your brother and sister, honoring your father and mother, those are all ways that we love one another. Okay? And we do that because God loved us first. So let's pray to God, thank Him for His love, and ask for His help in loving. We fold hands. Close eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love in sending your Son to die for our sins. Help us, Lord, to show our love to you and to others by loving them in deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, good job. You get back to your seats. So here in Luke 13, back to repentance, we get three illustrations that Jesus uses to show the need we all have for repentance. The first illustration is a real true story of the people from Galilee whom Pilate and the Romans slaughtered while offering their sacrifices. They were killed while offering sacrifices to God. And Jesus responded by pointing out to his audience, the listeners, that those who were slaughtered were not worse sinners than his audience. Okay, the conclusion being, they were slaughtered by Pilate and Rome because they deserved it. This is God's judgment on them because they're really bad. And Jesus says, lest you think they got their just desert, God's punishment, they weren't worse than you are. Jesus immediately offered a second illustration. So real life, Galileans slaughtered by Rome, they weren't as bad as you are. Or they weren't worse than you are. Then Jesus offers a real life example. The Tower of Siloam fell on and killed 18 in Jerusalem. And what does Jesus say? They too weren't worse sinners than anyone else in Jerusalem. Don't get haughty. Don't act like we're better than them. We're better than they were. And then from these first two real life examples, God used both to show the reality of sin and death. And Jesus connects them to the need for repentance. That's the point, the need for repentance. Repentance concerns our relationship with God. Okay? He teaches us through tragedies, through natural disasters, that death can come at any time. Death can come at any time. Repent of your sin or you too will perish. Now we get these situations in our nation and in our world today. Whether it's a hurricane or a tornado, we see God's sovereignty up close in reality. And the temptation is to look at an example like Hurricane Sandy a few years ago in New York and think, well, God's mad at the East Coast, right? They're getting their punishment. Or an earthquake in Nepal last year. God was mad at their idolatry and he punished them. Now it is true that God hates wickedness. He hates idolatry. He's not pleased when people practice it and they indulge in their sin. We don't need to doubt his hand over all of it. He is sovereign. But Jesus tells his audience in Luke 13, he tells us today by the power of the Holy Spirit, don't think that you're better. You need to repent of sin too. And brothers and sisters, you don't know when you're going to go. Whether it's a heart attack. Whether it's a car accident. Death can come suddenly. Not everyone lives to their 90s. So repent. This leads to our final point, Christ's illustration of the parable of the fig tree. Jesus offered this parable directly to the people of Israel because he came for 3 years looking for fruit. He promised judgment. In Luke 13, this is a sermon directly to the people to whom he was speaking. And he promised them that he would come to cut down and destroy that fig tree. Judgment was coming to Israel. Repent or perish. Turn from your sin. Turn to love and serve the Lord and his Messiah, Jesus Christ. Or you too will die. You too will die. And many did die. God judged Israel in that generation with the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Judgment came. God's patience ran out. He withheld his anger for a time, but he did not keep it forever. While these illustrations and teachings were directly for Jesus' audience in the first century, we have obvious implications and commands for us today. So we too ought to take heed of Christ's warnings. After all, who are the people to whom he was speaking? His people. He was talking to his people, Israel. And it would be foolish of us to look at Israel and Israel's rejection of Jesus and think, well, they were worse than we are. The church is holier today. We're not that bad. If we did that, if we respond to Luke 13 that way, we completely miss the point of what Jesus was teaching here. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All human beings suffer from this. And all are in need of the grace of repentance. Repentance from sin and death unto life. We all need Jesus. We all need the grace of God. Repentance is his good gift to us as people. But we have to remember, Israel was already saved. They were set apart from the Gentile nations. God declared to the Israelites that they were his treasured possession. So repent from what? It's easy to look at the world, those apart from Christ, and say you need to repent and follow Jesus. But they are called out of the world already, just like we are. We're called out of the world. So how do we apply this? They rejected Jesus. They rejected God's will for them to turn from idolatry and sin. Turn to Jesus. They had their traditions, they had their Jewish culture, but they failed to recognize their need for a Savior. Yes, they were God's covenant people, but that covenant is in Christ. And they didn't recognize him as their Savior. So, brothers and sisters, Christians, Church of God, we need to take heed. Sure, we have American Christianity. We think we're good people. We're not as bad as most, right? There are a lot of bad people out in the world. A lot of evil, a lot of wickedness. We're better than most. Maybe you've been a church member your whole life. Maybe you rely upon, we have good old-fashioned American rural culture here. We're heart-of-the-earth people, salt of the earth. We have Hamlin traditions. We have Reformed church traditions. This isn't us in the scene. Sin separates all of us from life. Sin separates all of us from God. Sin is death, and sin clings closely. Even though we are in covenant with God, we can still reject him. We can still reject Jesus, even though we're Christians. We can still reject his word. We can still reject the life that he gives us. We can choose our own way. That's what the Jews were doing. They chose their own way. We heard this morning from Ephesians 4, God's will for life. These are commands from God to us as people. And we can hear it and we can reject it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Any of us do that? Unwholesome talk? God says, only speak what's helpful for building up. In our conversations, do we say words that are not for building people up? Do we tear down with our words? Even if people aren't around, do we tear people down with our words? Bitterness. Anybody here have bitterness in their heart? Do you have bitterness toward a person in this church? Do you have bitterness toward one another? Maybe outside the church you have bitterness. Repent of your bitterness. Slander. Anybody here gossiping? Anybody get on the phone? Anybody sit around the table on Sunday afternoon and talk about all the bad stuff at church? Repent. Repent of that, or you too will perish. All forms of malice. Do the opposite. Turn from the slander, turn from the bitterness and death, and seek life. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgives you. So it's the message to the kids. We can talk about love, but if that love doesn't come out in deeds, it's worthless. If your repentance doesn't lead to love and good works, it's false repentance. It's counterfeit repentance. So this message is for all of us, brethren. If you have unrepented sin in your life, you need to seek forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You need to turn from death unto life. Let go of your sin. Let go of that malice, that bitterness in your heart. Let go of the slander, the gossip that's in our church. Let go of that and cling to Jesus. Take heed to his warning. Repent or perish. Reject pride, reject false comfort, and find the true comfort that God gives us in his Son. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who hatest nothing thou hast made, and dost forgive us the sins of all those who are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily amending our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Repentance, faith, obedience, all flows out of worship. We worship all heart, souls, mind, and strength. And that is carried out in our song. So, change your hearts if you